Cold mornings, holiday plans. This is when I need my wardrobe to just work. That's why I'm all about Quince. They make it easy to look sharp, feel good, and find gifts that last. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, Quince pieces are crafted from premium materials and built to hold up without the luxury markup. Quince makes the essentials every guy needs, Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, Italian wool coats that look and feel designer, and denim and chinos that fit just right. Their outerwear lineup is no joke, guys. You have to go check it out. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. By cutting out the middleman and traditional markup, Quince delivers the same quality as luxury brands at a fraction of the price. It's everything you actually want to wear. Built to hold up season after season. Guys, the down jacket I picked up from Quince is getting me through the cold winter when I go up north to visit my family. I also got an awesome vest that I like to wear down here in Florida when the weather gets colder as well. It looks super expensive and designer, but again, it's a fraction of the price. Guys, get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled this holiday season with Quince. Don't wait. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your orders and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. You'll get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. You'll be glad you did. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, sponsored by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money, and we have a fun one with you. As you can see, I am on the road. I am home in Delaware, where it all began, Brian. OG Crypto 101 listeners will remember the basement in Delaware when I first came on the show. We're not in the basement, but we're getting a little holiday palm tree with some lights here to remind me of my home back in Florida. But it's a great day. It is Christmas week. Happy Hanukkah to everybody that just celebrated. I believe Hanukkah just ended. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody celebrating the holiday season. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. But we actually have an interesting episode. There's a lot of stuff going on per usual. A little bit of price action we can look at Coin Microcap for, but a lot of news flow, which we'll break down with my friend Brian, who's joining us today. Brian, welcome to the show, and thanks for doing it with me on the holiday week here.
Yeah, man. No doubt about it. You know me. I absolutely love eating it up with you on the rundowns, and it might not be the light that we normally see every time we do these podcasts, but that still counts. Those Christmas lights back there still count. The light is still on, no doubt about that. So why don't we
get rolling
a little bit, TiVo? Why don't you pull up CoinMarketCap and we can take a look at exactly what's going on in these markets, because there's been a little bit of chop.
And then, yeah, obviously with the listeners, just bear with me on some producing stuff. I don't have my normal setup, my monitors, my mic stand, so doing my best here to give you all an episode, but there might maybe some technical difficulties at some point, and we'll figure that out as we go. But you see that coin market cap up there for you, Brian?
Yeah, I got it, man, and super producer TiVo is going to carry us through this a little bit. It doesn't matter what state we're in. We're always bringing out the most banger content. But to get going, Bitcoin right around 88,000 bucks. I think we touched around 90 a little yesterday. We touched a little 90 today, but keeps getting rejected. And it's what we've been saying over the past couple weeks. It's been chopping a lot, and there's really not many reasons why. Even though we're getting tons of bullish news, there's not a lot of reasons why I think we're going to find those new all-time highs over the next week or two for that beloved Santa's rally. Even though stocks are starting to turn pretty positive here, I think they were actually in the fear and greed meter. They're actually in the greed meter, and crypto, of course, is still floating around in that fearful moment. But Ethereum just a shade below 3,000. Solana about 124. Again, it's a decent amount off those all-time highs that we were desiring and we were absolutely loving over the past couple months, but no real major concerns personally for me. It's just that standard correction, that standard washout. Now we're getting into the heart of this holiday season. A lot of people are going to probably be away from screens over the next couple weeks, just kind of taking a breather out there. So not a lot of major catalysts that I think are going to come through to get us over to 100 or some wild number, but mm-hmm. We've seen crazier things happen, but I think we're going to probably chop in this area for quite some time.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus heading into the end of the year. But always a fun thing at the end of the year is low liquidity. Or it can be fun. It can be fun one way. It can be not as fun the other way. But you got to be careful when there's low liquidity. A lot of people, especially bigger hedge funds, taking off this week. So more importantly, like when the stock market has those half days, the flows are pretty slow with a low liquidity. But as we know, Bitcoin 24/7 trading. So, you know, it can kind of go you know, either way. I remember the that flash crash of on Thanksgiving. I was back in like 20, I think it was 22 Thanksgiving. I mean, it was just like I sat down at the Thanksgiving table and thing fell off a cliff. So, you know, always on edge going into the holidays with one eye on the screen. But hopefully nothing too crazy happens unless it's to the upside. I'll pull up the fear and greed index. Last month we hit a 10 extreme fear. Always interesting. Now we're in this, you know, fear range of the, you know, 20 to 30. No price action that we've seen that's going to crawl us out of and get us to neutral anytime soon. Everybody's pretty fearful. And something that we haven't looked at in a while, Brian, that I wanted to pull up was the Bitcoin trends. This was something that I personally really like. I think a lot of people on the timeline say that it's not useful anymore because everybody knows what Bitcoin is. And I disagree because on the way up, we saw that interest started spiking, you know, back when we were going to the 60s and the 80s and the 90s, especially the 100, you know, the first time we hit that, it was a good gauge. And I felt validated because this metric did work. And I have it on a 12-month right here. So you can see it got to on the 12-month scale, it got to the 100. Bitcoin's in the blue. And that was to the negative side in October on the back end. So again, it peaked because of negativity, which I think is good. And you kind of like to see the interest drop down, especially on both sides. If it's going up too crazily, if there's this huge rip in the markets and the interest piles high, usually when that pile high comes is when you see a big drawdown. And same thing to the downside. If there's a big drawdown and everybody's Googling what's going on with Bitcoin, And that kind of piques interest to maybe some longtime holders that had a little bit of crypto or a little bit of Bitcoin. They're going to start selling because everybody thinks the sky's falling. And so same thing. I think it's a good thing to see that trending down right now and just let Bitcoin kind of be as quiet as it can.
Yeah, you nailed it. I'm a big fan of the Bitcoin trends too, dude. I think it's a pretty good pulse on exactly what everyone's looking at. I get it that everyone knows what Bitcoin is. Everyone knows what crypto is. Well, not everybody. I was actually buying a cup of coffee earlier this morning, super early after the gym, and I have my Gemini card, and the guy looks at it. And he goes, oh, do you pay with Bitcoin out of this? Or I was like, no, it's rewards. And they just started talking my ear off about Bitcoin in the drive-thru and couldn't have known less. And he was like, oh, someday I'm going to sit down and learn some more about it. And I did. I gave a shout out. I go, if you really want to learn more about Bitcoin and everything that's going on in the crypto world, you need to check out the Crypto 101 podcast. So I was out there, boots to the street. Trying to bring one
got
more.
And are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or even your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee, and right now you can grab a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. To qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
No, go ahead.
Rock and roll.
One more.
No, I don't know. Just
one more. One more person on the boat. You're saying one more. You're trying to get one more person on the boat here to join the Crypto 101 pod. And in a natural, non-advertising way, shout out to the Gemini credit card, man. And we appreciate Gemini. They just re-upped for another round of presenting sponsorships. So you heard that at the front of the show. They're back in a big way, and we really, really do appreciate it. So if you're interested in, like Brian said, just buying cups of coffee or going to the grocery store and earning some, you know, Bitcoin, or they have, I think, 50 other cryptos that are in that rewards program, check out the links below for the Gemini credit card. But I think I sent you this, we're going to save that one for later. Here's one pulling up. At the end of the day, all momentum names are down. And so obviously Bitcoin led the way. And we always find that interesting both ways, because at certain points in the last year or two, Bitcoin's kind of outperformed on the way up in a way. It's led the way up, and then the stock market would follow. That was a lot of analysts were saying, like, oh, well, Bitcoin had a 5-10% move to the upside, so now I'm looking for the NASDAQ to follow 5%. And then Bitcoin obviously recently has fallen out of bed, and the stock market as a whole has not joined it. What's happened in the stock market is a broadening. So your high flying momentum names have come down. I'll cover that. That's what's on the screen in a second. But it's the money hasn't come out of the stock market. It's actually rotated. It's rotated to healthcare. It's rotated to, you know, discretionary and travel, leisure. So I think that's a really good sign for the health of the market, is that like liquidity is not getting pulled. It's not going into bonds. It's not going into cash. But in the crypto market, like that doesn't really exist, right? There's no discretionary side of crypto. It's either kind of Bitcoin is your discretionary, right? It's like Bitcoin, yeah. Altcoins, meme coins, and then stable coins. So Bitcoin is in theory is as low risk on as you get, which obviously we've seen that the market as a whole designates Bitcoin still as a risk on asset. So I thought it was interesting just to pull this up, because you could see, you know, Bitcoin, at this point exactly, we don't have Brendan here to do the chart thing where he grabs the exact percentage down. I don't know if you know it off the top of your head, but we're in a 30 to 35% correction. Oracle, 48%. Lululemon down 52%. Sheesh. Get some new jogging pants there, Brian. Iron down 56%. That's the Bitcoin miner. Nvidia down 20%. Microsoft 14%. Meta 18%. Netflix down 30%. Big correction there. Ooh. IonQ 46%, CoreWeave 65%. So you can see kind of what we've talked about on this show recently is, you know, some of the money that we thought might go into the crypto craze of this bull cycle has been spread out into this AI, the AI build out, CoreWeave, AI data centers, right? Iron taking their, the Bitcoin mining company that's then going to sell their power to the AI trade. Circle, stable coins down 73%. And then obviously you have BMNR down 81% from its high. So they're like, The sky isn't falling just for Bitcoin. The sky is falling for momentum names. And again, the money hasn't come out of the market, which I think is the best side, because if people get too scared and you know, too freaked out, they're pulling their money out of the market. They're going into the settlement funds, the money market funds, or they're buying bonds. And that's not happening yet. So I think it's kind of that middle ground of this trade. But any thoughts on the momentum names here, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal numbers there by some really key players in the industry. But I think you said it really well, TiVo, is the money's not getting pulled out of the market. It's just rotating. And I do believe once things settle down, it's always going to find its way back into a lot of these names and a lot more risk on assets. Really, really not much more to say than it's not just Bitcoin and the crypto market that's down. It's a lot of different momentum trades.
Yeah, and this cycle run for Bitcoin has seen, you know, upwards of 500%+ gains from the bottom of the FTX collapse. And since then, we've had multiple 30%+ corrections. You can see in the summer of 24, 34% right after the new year here in 25. This year alone, we saw 32%. And then obviously on the back end of 25 here, it looks like the number's 36%. And then it's kind of bounced off the bottom there a little bit so far, at least. So I think if I could give a quick shout out, because it kind of relates to what we're talking about, and I'm pulling it up right now. Shout out to Mick from Australia. DM'd the Twitter account for Crypto 101 today and just said he's been on his crypto journey for 2 years, early days for him, but he just wanted to shout out and say thanks for the podcast. He comes to the Crypto 101 podcast, loves the interviews, loves the rundown. He says it keeps him grounded and reminds him to zoom out. And that's why I went to do that. Number one, to say thanks for Mick all the way from Australia. Merry Christmas to whatever, happy holidays to whatever you're celebrating down there, down under in Australia, our friend Mick. But he says zoom out. That's what we do on this show, right? We're the fundamentals. We're giving you the news flow. But you got to zoom out because it's been a great journey over the last 2+ years. A lot of positives. And when you get tied up into these 30%+ corrections, everybody feels it. It is not fun at all. But again, it's been a part of your journey if you've been with us, you know, for the last year, 2 years and whatnot, listening to the show.
Earning some stripes with these drawdowns, I'll tell you that much. You nailed it. It's never
couple grays in the beard.
Yeah, it's never fun to live in a super volatile world like this, especially when you're in the middle of a drawdown or some sort of volatility. But again, we say it all the time: zoom out. Nothing's broken fundamentally. Bitcoin's actually looked as strong as it's looked in a long time. I mean, a lot of adoption. A lot of interest. There's no shortage on news. We talked about this on last rundown. It's the last bear market we were in, like 2022, or when it was like clearly a bear market. It was just, we were just like watching paint dry. There wasn't a lot of news, wasn't a lot of hype. Mm-hmm. But right now, every day, we're talking about like the Clarity Act coming through, Fed rate cuts, new Fed chairs. I mean, I think even today I saw that Trump's media company added $40 million worth of Bitcoin. So there's a lot of reasons to be bullish and excited about the future. But in the moment, right now, we're in a drawdown, and that's exactly what it is. But these aren't that unordinary. I mean, this happens a lot, and it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And shout out to the chat here before we get into our next topic that builds off of that. We got, you know, damn, a holiday week here. We got about 100 people tuning in live. Appreciate everybody here. I know we got Grant. Grant is driving from Palm Beach back to Tampa. Shout out, Grant. We have West Coast, or I guess that's a different name, Michael. Michael's here, but I remember, I guess he's the Lobster, the East Coast Lobster. Or Michael. I guess is his real name. East Coast Lobster's here. Anybody else that's here, get in the chat. Tell us where you're from and how you're doing today. And if you could, just give us a like. And if you're new, bottom right, hit the logo and subscribe. But Brian, some really interesting stuff. I sent you this thread that I'm going to pull up here next. It's the gold versus Bitcoin debate. And when I think we got to be as humble as we can as Bitcoiners here. You got to say, hey, listen, gold won in 2025. It is what it is when it comes to price action. But what's really, really interesting, if we want to scroll down and follow this thread with me, if you're watching on YouTube, this is something that truly nobody called. So we'll do a little history first here in the thread. So 2013, gold crashed 28%. And then when that crash happened, $25 billion got redeemed and was sold in an investor panic. 2025, Bitcoin drops 10%. And 2025, Bitcoin has dropped 10%. We've had an off year for Bitcoin here. $25 billion of inflows has happened. So even though the price has gone down percentage-wise, the inflows are up, which means the dip is being bought. And we know who's leading, the big names. We talk about them all the time. But it's an interesting idea around psychology. Again, it's not as big as a drawdown, 28% in 2013 for gold versus 10%. But it seems it could hint at a new age of, you know, that's a $50 billion swing from minus $25 billion, $25 billion in redemptions to $25 billion in inflows. That's $50 billion in the opposite direction. So we got the 2025 leaderboard. IBIT ranks 6th overall with $25 billion in net inflows, the only negative performer on the board. So IBIT's down for the year. Everything else on the board is up, but it still has $25 billion in inflows. I think that's really telling to kind of the fundamentals and the narratives that we've been kind of bringing to the show, Brian, is like the price action hasn't been following the fundamentals. But traditionally, if you ask any, especially big tech investor, it's, hey, the story, the fundamentals are going to lead the price. And eventually the price catches up, but it's the fundamentals and the storyline of building out tech and building out the future that kind of leads the way.
Yeah, this isn't about Bitcoin beating gold's price. It's about behavior. Like you said, in 2013, gold faced real stress. Investors panicked and they pulled out capital. And now in 2025, when Bitcoin faced real stress, institutions stepped in and they bought aggressively. Really the same type of drawdown, but a completely opposite direction. And what that personally tells me is Bitcoin crossed that, like you said, the real psychological threshold. And it's no longer being treated as a speculative trade or a momentum asset. It's being treated like infrastructure, something institutions mm-hmm. allocate to deliberately. They rebalance in during volatility, accumulate when the prices are under distress and under pressure. And the most important signal here wasn't the price action, it's the flows. And the flows are showing conviction, especially conviction in Bitcoin. So to just kind of wrap it all up, markets talk through price, institutions talk through flows, and flows just told us Bitcoin isn't on the watch list anymore. It's basically in the portfolio.
Yeah, and then here I'll pull up this as like a visual for people. So here's the top inflows for ETFs for the year. And, you know, as you can see here, IBIT represents Bitcoin, down 10%. Everything else on the leaderboard has a positive year to date, which, again, overall for price action, if you're going purely off percentages, is not a good vote for Bitcoin. But, I mean, the fact that it's down 10% with this type of inflow, it just kind of tells you, like, hey, this is the vote of the institutions. This is the vote of kind of the future in a way, right? Because it probably is. I can't guarantee this, Brian. I'd have to look it up. But my guess would be, it's probably one of the newest IBIT, like for how old it is, right? It's probably one of the youngest options on this list. So it's something that, you know, we've said it so many times. You know, BlackRock, when BlackRock's putting the time to not only invest in the product, but market it, like this is something that they're planning for the next 5, 10, 20 years. This isn't a 6-month play for them. And continuing on with the institutional side, I mean, friend of the show, Jamie Crypto Diamond himself, JP Morgan, is exploring crypto trading for institutional clients. I know that's, you know, one of your favorite friends of the show, Jamie Crypto Diamond, but it just continues. It just continues with JP Morgan, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, they're jumping in. I mean, they were calling Bitcoin a pet rock just a few years ago. Now they're telling their investors to allocate more assets to crypto, to start paying attention. They've been buying. They've been offering this to their clients. And it's really an exciting time. And this bleeds opportunity in my eyes. I feel like every time the market's ripping and we're at $120,000 Bitcoin and we're all just so happy, you know what my number one feeling is I'm underexposed. I wish I had more. I really feel that way. And this is our opportunity to dollar cost average in. Do I think we could bleed a little bit lower? That's always a possibility. We could go down another 10% to 80,000 and rebound up. But I think in the long run, we're definitely going to beat all-time highs in Bitcoin. I think we're going to be very happy because you could just see where the smart money's flowing. You just showed the gold versus Bitcoin debate. I think that's so telling. Gold had one of its best years of all time. Bitcoin was down slightly, but they both attracted very similar institutional interests. So what happens whenever gold starts to cool off and we all realize it's just a gold shiny rock? And people are more interested in what's happening in the Bitcoin world. I think Bitcoin and those inflows are going to absolutely pop off. And it doesn't scare me that much. This we're chopping. We're getting rid of some of the short sellers. We're establishing a strong base. This happens all the time. 30, 40% drawdowns aren't that uncommon, unfortunately. And that's why a lot of us are in this market. Volatility, we can use this to our advantage. So I'm personally dollar cost averaging in, because every time we hit a new all-time in Bitcoin, the number one feeling I have is, well, my number one feeling is this is great. The number two very close is I wish I had more.
Right. I mean, volatility is opportunity. Those are words that I've listened and learned, and it takes a couple shots on the chin before you can learn and harness that volatility as opportunity. But I certainly do believe that as well. Moving on to this, because I think this is important to bring up. Another thing that we have not talked about is the M2 money supply, global liquidity versus Bitcoin. For a while, basically the last 2 years, this thing has been tied at the hip. Usually M2 money supply leading Bitcoin by a little bit, and Bitcoin catches up. But that has not been the case. This is definitely the widest gap it's been in recent memory. And there's a lot of people on the timeline that think this is, you know, this is true religion. that it's always going to catch up. That seems to have faded, so I think it's important to bring that up too, even when it's not going your way. But it's hard to see these charts being this far apart, in my opinion. I think it's hard to see these charts being this far apart for too long of a time. So maybe M2 comes back in. It's something as a lagging indicator that, you know, that we didn't see coming. Or, you know, eventually I think Bitcoin starts to at least move towards catching up to this. But important to bring up, even when it didn't go as planned for a lot of the crypto bulls on the timeline.
Yeah, this chart was just a few months ago, whenever we were right, absolutely mirroring it on that move to the upper right-hand corner there. We were all like, this is going to set us up. This is exactly what right. we want to see. It's mirroring M2. But, of course, it didn't work out that way. Again, it's just one of many metrics out there. I think Bitcoin could close that gap very quickly in the right conditions.
Yeah. But again, just something to monitor, I think. It almost seemed, I do agree, everybody was following this for so long that when that green line took off to the top right, the end of the summer, you know, it was, everybody was like, all right, here we go. The run into the end of the year, a lot of fundamentals were there, not just this chart that was making people bullish in the year. And then obviously October 10th or whatever the exact day was for that largest liquidity drain in crypto history set us back and continues to set us back and disrupts the underlying fundamentals of the bullish narrative for sure. But just something I thought was, you know, good to bring up, because you can't just bring stuff up when it works. Again, you got to get the whole picture, which is why it's only one data point. It's not, you know, the only data point. Something that is exciting for the space, kind of something we knew was coming, was Coinbase had a big announcement last week. They're doing stocks, so they're trying to do the all-in-one platform, stocks, prediction markets, DEX assets, the whole nine yards. Let's let Brian, you know, CEO of Coinbase, Brian Armstrong, tell you in his own words.
Recap. Here's everything we shipped in the second half of this year at Coinbase. First, we launched the Everything Exchange. You can now trade multiple asset classes on Coinbase: equities, prediction markets, millions of crypto assets, token sales, simple derivatives, anywhere, anytime. Next, Coinbase is not just a trading platform. We're building it to power your entire financial life. Today, we announced direct deposit, instant unstaking, Ethereum-backed loans, updates to our borrow product, and a redesigned peer-to-peer payment experience. We also shared an AI-powered advisor designed to help you manage your financial life. Next, we shared what we're building for businesses and developers. Coinbase Business is now out of beta and available to everyone. And we shared a number of updates to our fast-growing Coinbase developer platform, the suite of APIs designed to integrate crypto into the app.
Initial reaction for you, Brian. I'm tossing it to you.
Yeah, I mean, I followed this pretty closely. This happened Wednesday night. It was an interesting live stream. Obviously, bullish for anybody in the space. Great for Coinbase. I think the 24/7 stocks and equities, super interesting. We pretty much knew that we were going to come out with a prediction market because it's a prediction market super cycle. They're going to be offering Solana-based assets. He talked about the AI assistant. It was just a plethora of announcements. And it's exactly what he said there. They want to become the everything app. And I think Robinhood is doing that as well. Coinbase is well on their way. They're embracing this on-chain data, the blockchain, the world we're moving into. And this is exciting. Great for Coinbase. It's super exciting for anybody that's a probably holds on to their stock. It's super exciting for our entire industry. I think there's just even more to come. They're trying to be bigger and better out there, and I have a feeling that they're going to be pretty successful at becoming the everything app.
Yeah, it's interesting where this everything app has kind of taken over. You know, bias take here, but it sounds a lot like Robinhood. I mean, everything from the AI, you know, portfolio manager, you know, and kind of, you know, it's like, I know obviously Brian Armstrong's done events and live streams, I'm sure, before, but that whole setup there is very similar to what Robinhood's been doing like every quarter now for a while, and for their big announcements and whatnot. So there's room for multiple people in the space for sure. I definitely don't think Coinbase is going anywhere, but I will say, I think it's harder. Like, you originally went to Coinbase for crypto, right? It was where I first went to go, start buying multiple cryptos and all that stuff, you know, way back in the day. So I understand the concept. I just think if you think, like, when I think Coinbase, I think crypto. Robinhood started as just kind of like, all right, the online app brokerage, and then the GameStop thing, and it was kind of like a gambling in a sense. You were going there for more leverage and options, and then it's kind of, it feels like maybe Robinhood has like grown up with its users in a way, and matured with them in a way, while still offering, you know, crypto and, you know, all types of leverage and all that stuff. But it feels like if you can get somebody hooked on their UI and it's a good experience, like your users are growing up with you and you're doing multiple things. Whereas Coinbase, it felt like it was always like, well, Coinbase is my crypto only account. And then to kind of get them now into stocks and stuff, I think there's a little bit like, it better be a great experience, a great UI. Cause I just think the barrier to entry is going to be a little bit higher. Whereas Robinhood is kind of always just offered everything to begin with.
Sounds like a guy who bought Robinhood stock in the teens. That's what that sounds like.
I was nine. Let's not lie to the viewers, Brian. It was $9.50. Let's not lie to the viewers.
We're gonna see a lot of these apps. I think Gemini is gonna roll something out similar as well. They're gonna have a prediction market. They're gonna have stocks. They're gonna have equity. I think we're gonna have a lot of players in this space. I agree with you. Kind of Robinhood paved the way for this vision. Coinbase is unique as well because they have what they hold. They're the custodian for a ton of ETFs. They hold a lot of the cryptos for a lot of these ETF holders. So there's going to be a lot of players in this space, and I think that a lot of them can be very, very successful. I agree with you. It does feel like Robinhood kind of started this off and kind of gave us that appetite there for what they're building as an everything app. But we're going to see a lot of these companies roll out and do this. But overall, what this all points to is a bullish case for crypto and blockchain and on-chain trading to succeed. We're finally, right. What's it going to be like? We're going to Q2, what, we're going to have 24/7 stock trading? It's about time. I think that's,
yeah,
from a technical standpoint or technology standpoint, we've been able to do that for a long time.
Yeah, and again, I love Coinbase, bullish Coinbase. I think what you just said, I want them to focus even more on real world use cases for blockchain. And, you know, obviously we all love Base and integrating Base and working inside the ecosystem to be a part of this. And I think that's where the leadership of him and Vlad and all those top CEOs that are pro crypto will be doing for many, many years to come. So super exciting from Coinbase. Obviously, we have a ton of their people on from all different. We had Coinbase Ventures recently, Coinbase Echo recently. They're building so many cool things, and they're on the forefront of that, you know, bridging real world use cases. So a lot of more fun stuff from Coinbase to go. The link is bringing up an ad here, but you want to touch on the DraftKings release for the prediction markets app, Brian?
Oh yeah. That might have been the link that I shared a little bit far, or it's a walled bump. But essentially, we've been talking about prediction markets on every single rundown. Joe and I talk about it all the time. We have Vlad from Robinhood just recently calling it a prediction market super cycle for good reason, because everybody's talking about prediction markets recently. And DraftKings, shout out, old employer. We knew it was going to happen eventually, that they were going to be interested in prediction markets for a plethora of reasons. That they get access to all 50 states. They get contracts to everything for other things other than sports. And they rolled out prediction markets. Now they have a whole new app, DraftKings Prediction Markets. And they're going to rival what Polymarket is doing out there. And again, it kind of feels like everybody and their mother right now is coming out with a prediction market. There's going to be a few that succeed, but again, prediction markets are not going anywhere.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a hot take connoisseur, as you know. I think that DraftKings is a little late, and I know that there's legal reasons behind it, but having it have to be a separate app, I think, is going to be a huge hurdle for them. I think what could be exciting, I think where they do have a leg up, and Kalshi and Polymarket are doing this, trying to hire our market / partner with different creatives. Obviously, DraftKings has a huge reach, which is with its gambling content creators, the huge deal with Barstool. So can you get the Dave Portnoy's and the Big Cats of the world into this type of stuff, possibly. I think it'll be a huge initiative for sure. And so that maybe that's a good way to get the marketing, to get, you know, people to download the app. But I think and it goes back to my analogy that I said on this show many times, that this is going to be like the gambling app when you know, everybody had a gambling app. You know, obviously Penn failed, and, you know, it failed with Barstool. They failed with ESPN. Penn spent like $2 billion and has no gambling app, Brian. Like, just the money's disappeared. I guess it's actually in the Florida Keys with Dave's new beautiful house there. But yeah, the Penn lost that race, but DraftKings won that one, right? DraftKings is the king, if you will, and FanDuel, two up top. So now this whole thing, it's an interesting, I think it's really interesting how it was a spend to the bottom for gambling apps, and DraftKings and FanDuel won, and then this prediction market super cycle's basically come out of nowhere and is now coming at them on a different angle, which I find fascinating just from a business perspective. But
yeah,
you know,
you called out Portnoy though. And I know one of the first tweets I saw was Portnoy actually saying everyone used DraftKings prediction app, especially here in Florida. And,
interesting
to see him call that out.
No, 'cause you know, obviously when he's in Florida, like myself, it's Hard Rock Bet only, and Hard Rock Bet's not really a great experience, to be quite honest, unless they want to sponsor the pod. If they do, I love Hard Rock Bet. If they don't, I don't like Hard Rock Bet, of course. but yeah, not the best experience sports betting wise. So yeah, you maybe download. Maybe I'm going to be a draft. Who knows? Maybe I'm a DraftKings prediction market guy sooner or later. Who knows? But I think just to kind of move on, I have some quick hitters here. Some government quick hitters, if you will. Let me see. Where's Riverside here? Got lost in the sauce here on the producer end. Some government quick hitters. David Sachs kind of threw out a tweet. I think I might have it. I lost it here. Here we go. David Sachs kind of thanking some people in government and basically saying that, you know, the Clarity Act is coming. The vote for the Clarity Act is coming up in January, looking for it to be confirmed. We think that as a team and as a community, I think I've heard, you know, kind of Bryce talk about it a lot, is once the Clarity Act does get passed, it kind of green lights, obviously, a lot more stablecoin usage, and kind of can kind of get the green light for a lot more liquidity to get into the crypto ecosystem, which we think is bullish for Bitcoin and Ethereum. Is that something you agree with, Brian, or kind of have a take on the Clarity Act passing is bullish?
Yeah, of course. It's designed to clearly define when crypto assets are securities versus commodities. It gives builders, it gives investors, it gives institutions clear regulatory rules instead of the enforcement by lawsuit type of vibe. So when we get more clarity, hence the Clarity Act, when we get more regulatory rules, it's going to make more institutions, more builders, more people attracted. So I think it's actually one of the bigger catalysts we're going to see in the year 2026, and it could help us get us out of these choppy waters.
Yeah. And then before we move on to our next quick hitter, I want to give a shout out to the chat. We got Danny from Maple Valley, Washington, Frank. Frank's, that's the name. Amy's from New Jersey. Arizona Bob, happy holidays to all. Thank you, Bob. And then we got a couple questions, which we'll get to at the end. So if you're on the live and you haven't, give us a thumbs up. If you're new, bottom right, hit the logo to subscribe and drop in your questions. We'll get to those at the end of the program. But our next quick hitter I thought this was interesting, kind of came out of nowhere. Senator Loomis, Cynthia Loomis, is going to retire. She was one of the first really active kind of voices on Twitter, I thought, of crypto Twitter, to be really pro Bitcoin and to be at all the conferences and kind of rallying a lot of troops. So we thank her for her service. But I think it's interesting that she's tapping out. Do we see her going? She gonna be at the board of Gemini soon enough? You know what? What private job is she going to be taking, you think?
No joke. Whenever I saw that on the sheet, and I was like, oh, I saw it trending. I was like, that's a bummer because she's been pushing so hard. And then I was like, it's only a matter of time until she has a seat at the Coinbase table.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. I think she'll still be well involved in the industry unless she just wants to ride off into the sunset in Wyoming, which I'm sure is a beautiful place of her home state. And then again, we mentioned this before, but all eyes are on the announcement for the new Fed chair. I was trading it on the prediction markets. I did actually really well, right? I was kind of using the prediction markets to its full potential because I bought something. I saw a tweet that he was going to announce it before the end of the year, bought that really quick. It shot up. I ended up trading out of that because I saw that it was Kevin Hassett had an interview and he kind of gave a little like, yeah, I'm a front runner. So I put it on him. His odds shot up. And then I was like, oh man, I just, you know, I did the right thing. I sold out of this, bought that. And then I ended up selling out of that as well. And both those trades ended up falling apart and went to zero. So that was the right way to use those prediction markets because I got out of them, which was good because we all know I've had some had a couple of losers as well along the way when trying to figure this stuff out. But always fun when dabbling in the prediction markets. But new Fed chair, I think I saw something today actually. He's going to announce it the first week of January, Brian. And then the race is kind of heated up. Originally, it was Hassett who was out in the lead, and now it's kind of tied between him and another. And I think there's a third in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big announcement as well. Trump's handpicking another Fed chair. He picked Powell, right? Trump picked Powell.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Yeah,
he did. Just clarifying it because he absolutely attacks that guy on a nonstop basis. But you know the next Fed chair is going to be pretty pro-Trump, and what Trump wants right now are more rate cuts. So I think that's going to be an interesting call-out come the first week of January.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be something to watch for. And kind of something that I've seen TradFi talk about now is really interesting. So there's kind of been this narrative that the new Fed chair is going to come in and slash rates because that's what Trump wants. I've actually seen a counterpoint of that is that the market always tests a new Fed chair. I don't have the charts with me. Maybe it's something we could try and find for early in the year, but it was something about each time a new Fed chair is instated. So not only being named, but after they get named, it takes, a couple months, I believe, to go through the process, confirm them and get them into the job. But there was a stat of how the market, every new Fed chair that comes in within the first year, the market quote unquote tests them to see what type of Fed put there is. So that's not a bullish argument for the markets as a whole with a new Fed chair necessarily coming in. So I thought that was interesting kind of stat. I'll see if I can dig up some stuff for earlier in the new year with some charts around that to showcase that. That wouldn't be for Bitcoin specifically. That would be for more of the S&P 500. But let's do it. Let's end the show. We got Brian here in the holidays. Brian's our momentum money makers with Joe. That's the two legends in the crypto trenches, as we like to call. So he's going to give us some meme coin news, some updates. They've been giving out winners left and right going into the end of the year, even though Bitcoin hasn't treated us well. So down in the description, I put a link if you're interested. I think it's a $3 trial or $1 trial or something for Momentum Moneymakers. So if you're interested in joining Brian and Joe and getting the first alerts for these trades that they do, check the description below. Brian, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, I think, what did we put on the sheet here? The 6-7 coin, huh? This is, meme coins they've been struggling.
Perfect for the holiday season, though. Perfect for the holiday season because everybody's going home. I got my little cousins I'm going to go see later today. They're going to be hitting me with the 6-7 all night, I'm sure.
It's nonstop, man. My kids, I got four kids, and if I say anything, we were watching football yesterday. The score was 7-0 somebody. Then somebody scored a touchdown and went 6-7. Three of my four kids ran in. They go, 6-7, 6-7, 6-7. And as ridiculous as it is just absolutely one of the most memeable things now. Did you see that women's college basketball game where the score was 64? Yeah, the 64 to something. And the coach goes, you better make the three.
And it was like at least one of them. There's multiple ones, but there's one that was like a field trip for kids. So the whole stadium was filled with middle school age kids, and they went absolutely nuts.
Yeah, and there was a Christmas show I saw that's trending out there where these kids were doing Christmas carols and they sang this whole song around 6-7. Well, where I'm going with this is 6-7 actually hit a pretty interesting metric. If this was January of last year, this is a multi-billion-dollar meme coin and we're all probably getting rich because it's going up only.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if this happened... No, I totally agree with what you just said. I was like, this is one of those things that if it happened, you know, January last year or this year, earlier in January, I think this thing would have flew.
Yeah, it would absolutely smash. But with that all being said, it's still trading $25 million meme coin in a market where there's not a lot of hot meme coins out there. So it's certainly on my short list to keep an eye on, just because as this lore continues to grow around 6-7, you either love it, you could love it, you could hate it, no matter what, it doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. It's just literal brain rot, and we've all had our own fair share of brain rot. Whenever I was a kid, I used to scream "your mom" at people, and or "what's up" from the TV commercials. It's every generation has it. This is 6-7 for some reason. Is it right now? So it's an interesting meme coin to keep our eyes on, because if it continues to grind upwards, it could be bullish for the trenches. So it's something I'm watching.
Yeah, no, you guys are, you know, always first alert, and your trench watching has been second to none this year alone. Obviously, the year started out hot, and you guys had winners left and right. But even in the back end of the year, you guys were still picking some good ones. So if you're interested in Momentum Money Makers, again, check that link below to get more information about how you get those first alerts from Brian. Anything else to wrap the show? And then the last thing, Brian, I have one more here, and then we'll do some questions. So if you have some questions, throw them in. I saw Ted from Jax. He's saying, go Jags. My God, a playoff run from the Jags this year.
They look good.
They look good. They look good. They're going to have to run into Mac Jones up in New England, so not sure. But Ted, thanks for joining us. And anybody that has any questions, I saw we had one from Robert. We'll get to that. If anybody else has one before we end the show, hop in. Last call for questions. But Brian, what was see, Wrecked? I know you love Wrecked. Wrecked Rewards in stores right now?
Yeah, you know, it's some interesting announcements there with Wrecked. It sounds like you're going to be able to buy the Wrecked drinks in Giant Eagle. Yeah, I'm from the Pittsburgh area, so everybody out there knows Giant Eagle, and you'll be able to actually claim these rewards. So it's going to be interesting how this world of these brand coins, you go in, you buy a physical product, you can go out and you can claim the coin. So I'm still pretty bullish on Wrecked overall. I got the Wrecked hat. And I have to, not to correct you, but I have to make a call out. Mac Jones is no longer
a New England patron.
It is Drake May, the savior of Tom Brady.
Drake May, the savior. It's the correct call out. Sorry. Early day here on a Monday. Got the flight. I'm not in my thing. And I don't do sports media anymore. So I guess that's a mistake I'll have to own. But Drake May, dude. That guy's throwing darts last night. Darts.
He looks good. And then Trevor Lawrence, who was it that said Ted from Jax, man, they look good. I've kind of hated on Trevor Lawrence over the past few years, and I think everybody out there has, but he's looked good. His game yesterday was great. So just pivoting a little bit to sports, it doesn't feel like there's any clear-cut winner out there for a Super Bowl winner out there. So it's anybody's ball game right now, and it could be anybody, and they're as good as anybody.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe we'll get some prediction market football talk going once the playoffs hit. But we had a question from, Robert. Are you concerned about Morgan Stanley preventing crypto collecting companies such as MSTR? So I guess he's referring to not just offering the stock, but that MSCI, you know, including in the in kind of the passive flows of if you're included in, you know, the NASDAQ 100s, the NASDAQ 200s, the S&P 500s. I think it's if they did get banned, it would be a big drawdown specifically for that stock. For the overall narrative, I'm personally not concerned. I mean, it could be one of those things where it gets a life of its own for some type of drawdown, but I think it would be an easy buy the dip opportunity for me personally, if that was the only news around it.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good call out. Wall Street's not anti-Bitcoin. It's like pro-structure. And the structure currently favors like ETFs over these crypto heavy operating companies right now. But I wouldn't be overly concerned. We'll see how that shakes out, but it would cause the price to go down if there was an announcement there for sure.
Yeah. And we've talked about MicroStrategy, and obviously Michael Saylor, friend of the program, has done a ton of stuff for the, just, I call it the alchemy of MicroStrategy. Just all their offerings is like really confusing. It's too confusing for me to really understand all those different derivative plays and the yield bearing plays and all the stuff that they do offer. He calls himself a Bitcoin operating company, and they have a ton of offerings now. And they started raising cash for their yield bearing products, and it has gotten a little crazy. Whereas at least for now, and things could change, but like a Bitmine BMNR is just like, hey, we're stacking ETH, we're not selling it, we're going to stake it, and that staking is going to, you know, it's an easier process to kind of understand. So specifically for MSTR, there seems to be a lot more going on underneath the hood, which could give maybe a little bit more scrutiny around it, right? Because, you know, there's just a lot going on underneath that umbrella. So something to watch. But again, you shouldn't have all, you know, and that's not personal financial advice for anybody ever on the show. But, you know, you shouldn't have all your eggs in one basket, no matter what it is, whether it's MSTR, you know, or IBIT or BMNR or anything. So, you know, that's kind of what we preach here, is kind of understanding what you own and planning your trades and trading your plans. So that was the only true question we got, except let's see, East Coast Lobster saying that Larry Fink wants to put everything on the blockchain, own all the Bitcoin, and he's going to, you know, Charles Schwab, and everybody's going to own everything and we own nothing. So, yes, that is some quotes we've seen running around on the internet, is you'll own nothing and be happy, as the New World Order is trying to tweet that out sometimes. So own your hard assets and understand what you own. But Brian, any final thoughts for the people heading into the holiday week here? It is Monday, December 22nd. This is going to be our last live for the year. So we appreciate everybody tuning in. I wanted to give you a chance to say goodbye to everybody and thank them this holiday season.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting year, that's for sure. We saw some major wins in the crypto world, major adoptions, institutions and smart monies flowing in. Like we always say on the program, you certainly want to zoom out, especially in these volatile times. But nothing fundamentally is broken here. I am personally as bullish as ever. I'm starting to continuously dollar cost average in. And I think 2026 is going to be an absolute ripper of a time for crypto. We're all going to absolutely love it and to be very happy the direction we're moving in. But with that all being said, if you're starting to feel some pressure out there, you know, maybe peel away from, you know, crypto Twitter and don't get too wrapped up into the charts or the price action right now, because I do believe we're going to chop for a couple more weeks. Things could get funky, but there's tons of bullish things happening, like the Clarity Act, yeah. The administration could go on and on. But just happy that everyone's out here learning, wanting to be involved in the crypto space with us. And it's a blast.
Yeah, it's been really fun to get the Spotify raps and the DM that I shared from Mick from Australia earlier. Just a lot of participation from the community. The show has grown, and we can't do that without you guys. So just a full heartfelt thank you of, you know, tuning in. Even when the price action goes down, we still have our core listeners that we know we'll be celebrating with when we get back to the top and get back to those all-time highs. And that's when, you know, the listenership really doubles and triples and quadruples. And I always say, like, hey, I see the numbers. I see that you guys are going away when the price action goes down. But this is where you learn. This is where the volatility gives you the opportunity. And you make those, you know, hopefully life-changing decisions in a good way that get your portfolio on the better side of being and picking winners. But we really appreciate it. You guys have helped the show grow, and you've made it fun for all of us, from Bryce to Brendan to Joe, Brian, and even Rohit when he comes on. We all really do thank you. And me as the producer of this show, I can't thank you guys enough for tuning in. So I hope everybody's is going to have a great holiday season these next couple weeks. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy New Year to you all. We really appreciate it, and we're going to talk to you guys soon. But for now, that's all. Goodbye, everybody.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans, Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.